You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
No one knows how long it had lain there on the lunar surface at Taurus Littrow. Several billion years, possibly. 100 million years, most likely. Tossed there as ejecta when an asteroid crashed into the moon. Sometime during the aeons, it had split in two. When, in the 1960s, the Lunar Orbiter spacecraft had photographed the moon in preparation for the manned Apollo missions, geologists spotted this large rock. Shadow measurements suggested it was 10 meters in diameter. It was decided that astronauts should visit it and get samples from it. That was to be the task of astronauts Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt. Gene Cernan had been born in 1934 and made a career as a United States Navy pilot. In 1963 October, he was selected as part of NASA's Group 3 astronaut intake. Less than 3 years later, he flew with Tom Stafford on the Gemini 9 mission. Launched on 1966 June the 3rd, Gemini 9 rendezvoused with an Agena D rocket that had been launched into Earth orbit several hours previously. Later, Cernan made a two-hour spacewalk. At the time of this 72-hour spaceflight, Gene Cernan had a three-year-old daughter. Tracy would have been unaware of what her dad was doing. Gene Cernan's next space mission came in 1969 when, along with Tom Stafford and John Young, he flew to the moon. 76 hours after launch, Apollo 10 went into lunar orbit. By this time, daughter Tracy was 6 years old and had an understanding of what her dad was doing. Now, spaceflight is dangerous. Gene was very much aware of the risk that he might not return home. Before liftoff, he wrote a letter to his daughter. For the 2016 film Last Man on the Moon, he read that letter.
The night before I flew, I wrote a letter to Tracy, just in case. To my darling daughter, Tracy. Trace, you're almost too young to understand what it means to have your daddy go to the moon. But someday, you'll have the feeling of excitement and pride that mommy and daddy do. Punk, we have lots of camping and horseback riding to do when I get back. I want you to look at the moon, because when you are reading this, Daddy is almost there. I love you, Tracy, my wonderful and beautiful daughter. All my love.
22 hours after entering lunar orbit, Gene Cernan and Tom Stafford detached the lunar module Snoopy from the command and service module Charlie Brown. Leaving John Young circling the moon alone, Stafford and Cernan flew Snoopy down to 15 kilometres from the lunar surface. 8 hours after separation, they returned and docked. Abandoning Snoopy, the three fired Charlie Brown's engines to leave lunar orbit and head back to Earth. Splashdown came 192 hours after liftoff. From 1969 to 1972, five missions landed on the moon. Then, in 1972 December, Gene Cernan got his chance to walk on the moon. In the pre-dawn of December 7, he, Harrison Schmitt and Ronald Evans were lofted by the mighty Saturn V rocket, first into Earth orbit and then on towards the moon. While Evans flew solo in the command module, America, Cernan and Schmitt landed the lunar module Challenger between the mountains in Taurus Littrow. In three moonwalks totaling 22 hours, Cernan and Schmitt explored the area around their landing site. By now, daughter Tracy was more than 9.5 years old. As she sat watching live television pictures of her dad working on the moon, a reporter spoke to her. Now, in this sequence from the movie Last Man on the Moon, Jean Cernan reflects on being one of only 12 people who have walked on the moon. Then Tracy talks with a reporter during Apollo 17 and says she was promised a moon beam, not a moon rock. Cernan describes how he scratched Tracy's initials in the moon dust, and then adult Tracy reflects on the meaning of her father's achievement.
That whole period of time, that's the time I call sitting on God's front porch. I was out there somewhere with the opportunity to see something and be somewhere and do something that only 12 human beings in the history of mankind have been able to do or be or see.
Tracy, did he promise to bring you anything back?
Well, I asked him to bring a rock back from the moon, but he said if he could, he'd bring me one back, and he said if he could, he'd bring me a moon beam.
A what?
A moon beam.
A moon beam? He's either pulling your leg or you're pulling mine.
That's what he said.
The rover about 3/4 of a mile behind the LEM so that they could operate the television camera and watch our liftoff. And I don't know what possessed me to do it. I just scratched Tracy's initials in the lunar surface. I put TDC. And someday, sometime, I can only believe, not just hope, but believe that someone will go back. And that's what they'll find.
I guess you appreciate things the older you get, always. You understand them better, you appreciate them more, and you know, the older I get, probably the more meaningful it gets to me.
One of the sample points was Split Rock, on the slopes above the lunar module. Jean scooped up some dust that had collected on that rock, leaving scrape marks on the 10-meter-long block. Years later, musical group No More Kings wrote and sang a song about Tracy Cernan and the split rock. This is called Tracy's Song.
My shadow stretched before me, footprints behind. I've reached these virgin beaches for the first and last time. Though I'm assigned a mission, I brought my own to change the disposition of the girl I left home. One small step for the man she wept for, the giant way to make amends. And if she questions my best intentions, tracing Tracy's name in the sand. chance of losing the wings we'd won. Our wax and feathers melted too near the sun. They came to claim my white suit, so I shed my skin. I brushed the stars from my boots and turned them in. No more steps toward what I once left for. I'm trapped by gravity again. And if my quest was ever questioned, I left a monument to stand by tracing Tracy's name.
No More Kings with Tracy's Song. And in case you didn't pick it up, it relates the fictional story that astronaut Gene Cernan wrote his daughter's initials on a rock on the moon. That rock, of course, was Split Rock. Instead, he actually wrote them in the lunar dust as he left the lunar roving vehicle to return to the lunar module. Now, Alan Bean, the fourth person to walk on the moon and later an artist, may have partly fueled this myth with one of his paintings.
This is a painting of Gene Cernan and Jack Schmidt working at Station 6 on the moon. When the painting was finished, I invited Gene Cernan to come over and look at it. Well, he came over and looked, and he gave me some advice. He said, for example, the valley down there seemed a little darker than you painted it. Well, now we're seeing it darker than it was at that time. So I changed that. I was showing him the footprints over in the right corner where he'd gone up and down the edge of that mountain. He remembered that. Then I showed him over there on the left side of the boulder, that vertical mark, and I said, this is where you took some samples. He says, no, I didn't use my sample tool there. I just went ahead and used my hand, and I scraped some dust off that boulder and brought it back for sampling. I talked with him a little bit more about it, and he says, you know what I wish I'd done? And I said, what? And he says, I wish I'd written my daughter's name in the dust of that boulder. Well, his daughter and my daughter were friends, so I gave him a piece of paper, and I said, write her name on this piece of paper in your handwriting like you would have. And so he did. Her name is Tracy. So after he left, I got out my paints, and I went back over, and I wrote Tracy's name there in the dust. And I retitled the painting Tracy's Boulder, and it's one of my favorites, and I feel real good about it every time I look at it, because I think of all the money I saved all of us taxpayers, because he doesn't have to go back up there to the moon and write Tracy's name in the dust. As an artist, I could do it for him.
Now, Split Rock is now popularly known as Tracy's Boulder. Well, Apollo 17 splashed down into the Pacific Ocean some 12 and a half days after liftoff. A few days later, Gene and Tracy were reunited. Now, joining us in the studio is Peter Arwood, the president of the Space Association of Australia. Now, he, like me, has met Gene Cernan. Peter, your impressions of Gene?
He was a wonderful man. Unfortunately, he passed away just recently, but it was a great honour to meet him. He's very passionate and very friendly and very approachable and very inspired, actually, by what we're doing in the Space Association here in Australia and the interest we've shown in the Apollo program and space in general. And he's very much focused, or he was very much focused on inspiring people to reach for their goals and follow their dreams and do what you think you can't do because you can. You know, really inspirational guy. And, yeah, he's an example of that, great example of that.
And he was kind enough to give us an interview.
He did, yes. We recorded that. You recorded that, didn't you?
No, you...
I recorded it.
You did that one.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, I did. Yeah, that goes back a little while. Yes, he was great. A very, very, very thorough interview. We've got that somewhere. I think it's on our website now, is it?
It is now on our website.
Have a look around there, the Space Show website. You can have a listen to that. But, yeah, he he's a, well, a great guy, and unfortunately he's now passed on. But, yeah, he was looking a bit shaky when he was out here in Australia. But he was certainly glad he made it out here, and he worked hard while he was here as well.
As I said, that website, that interview is on the website, and well worth a listen to, along with about 1,200 or more other features that we have on the website, which is at space.southernfm.com.au. I'll say that again. It's space.southernfm, that's one word, all lowercase, .com.au, space.southernfm.com.au,